Tonight we're going to read from Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Chapter 10, The Opulence of the Absolute, Texts 12 and 13. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Arjuna Uvacha Param Brahma Param Dharma Pavitram Paramam Bhavan Purusham Shashvatam Divyam Adi Devam Ajam Vibhum Ahustvam Rishaya Sarve Devarshir Naradas Tata Asito Devalo Vyasa Swayam Chaiva Bravishi Me. Translation. Arjuna said, "You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the ultimate abode, the purest, the absolute truth. You are the eternal, transcendental, original person, the unborn, the greatest. All the great sages, such as Narada, Asita, Devala, and Vyas, confirm this truth about you. And now, you yourself are declaring it to me." Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In these two verses, the Supreme Lord gives a chance to the modern philosopher. For here it is clear that the Supreme is different from the individual soul. Arjuna, after hearing the essential four verses of Bhagavad Gita in this chapter, became completely free from all doubt and accepted Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He at once boldly declares, "You are Param Brahma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead." And previously, Krishna stated that He is the originator of everything and everyone. Every demigod and every human being is dependent on Him. Men and demigods, out of ignorance, think that they are absolute and independent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That ignorance is removed perfectly by the discharge of devotional service. This has already been explained in the previous verse by the Lord. Now, by His grace, Arjuna is accepting Him as the Supreme Truth in concordance with the Vedic injunction. It is not that because Krishna is Arjuna's intimate friend that Arjuna is flattering Him by calling Him the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth. Whatever Arjuna says in these two verses is confirmed by Vedic truth. Vedic injunctions affirm that only one who takes to devotional service to the Supreme Lord can understand Him, whereas others cannot. Each and every word of this verse spoken by Arjuna is confirmed by Vedic injunction. In the Kena Upanishad, it is stated that the Supreme Brahman is the rest for everything. And Krishna has already explained that everything is resting on him. The Mundaka Upanishad confirms that the Supreme Lord, in whom everything is resting, can be realized only by those who engage constantly in thinking of him. This constant thinking of Krishna is smaranam, one of the methods of devotional service. It is only by devotional service to Krishna that one can understand his position and get rid of this material body. In the Vedas, the Supreme Lord is accepted as the purest of the pure. One who understands that Krishna is the purest of the pure can become purified from all sinful activities. One cannot be disinfected from sinful activities unless he surrenders unto the Supreme Lord. Arjuna's acceptance of Krishna as the Supreme Pure complies with the injunctions of Vedic literature. This is also confirmed by great personalities, of whom Narada is the chief. Well, there's more to the purport, but we'll just say a little bit about these things. The verses again. Arjuna Uvacha, Param Brahma, Param Dharma, Pavitram Paramam Bhavan, Purusham Shashvatam Divyam, Adi Devam Ajam Vibhum, Ahus Twam Rishaya Sarve, Devarshir Naradas Tata, Asito Devalo Vyasa, Swayam Chaiva Bravishi Me. Arjuna said, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the ultimate abode, the purest, the absolute truth. You are the eternal, transcendental, original person, the unborn, the greatest. All the great sages, such as Narada, Asita, Devala, and Vyas, confirm this truth about you. And now, you yourself are declaring it to me. Om Gyanatamirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshumilitam yena tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Swapatantikam Vanchakapatrubhyas Chakripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So these two verses have been chosen tonight, and they're very important verses. They are spoken by Arjuna, not by Lord Krishna. But Arjuna is acknowledging what Lord Krishna has said. And Arjuna, well, we know that in the beginning, Arjuna was very confused. In fact, he was terribly confused. He threw down his bow and started crying. Normally, grown men do not cry so much. Not regularly, at all. Yes, grown men, and particularly someone like Arjuna. Even amongst grown men, he is very special, because he, Arjuna, he is a warrior. So he's a very powerful person, and, you know, he's like a really tough man. Yes, yes. He is no softy. Or anything like that. Not at all. Arjuna, he's a warrior. He was not the type of leader who would stay in the background in the battles and tell the soldiers, go and get them and report back to me afterwards, whoever's left. No, he was there in the front. He was there in the front. And he killed many people, particularly in the battle of Kurukshetra, killed so many people. Not that he was just one of these violent, aggressive types, you know, some sort of delinquent or social misfit, who is just prone to violence, but on the basis of duty he would do that if it was necessary. Yes, therefore he is called Kshatriya. Shat in Sanskrit means pain, and Triya, or the root is Triya. Triya means to protect. So Kshatriya means one who protects others from pain. In other words, if others are being abused or threatened by some aggressor, then the duty of the Kshatriya is to step in and take action. So that was how he was working. That's how he was fighting. And when he fought, oh, that was a very big thing. Very big thing. Very, very powerful. Then, also in the Mahabharata, it explains how Arjuna, previously, he received the Gandiva bow. He received that Gandiva bow. That is a heavenly weapon, actually. And Arjuna was an expert marksman, expert archer, and a warrior, as we've said. So Arjuna took a vow. If anyone ever tells me, you put down your bow, I'll kill him. Arjuna took that vow. What to speak of if they attack him? But if they just say, put down your bow, then, phew, goodbye. Good night. Yes. Arjuna took that vow. So he's real. And he was, you know, in a certain sense of the term, he was a real man's man, if you know what I mean. Yeah, really tough guy, you could say. But there, in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna cried, and he himself put down his bow. So what had happened, we can just consider how deeply he'd become affected. Oh, he was severely devastated. very severely devastated. But now he's come to a different point altogether. Now he has got his conviction and strength and courage back. In fact, it is interesting to note that as Lord Krishna is convincing Arjuna step by step by step, and gradually bringing Arjuna from that point of total bewilderment and just complete breakdown, as Krishna takes him step by step, then this is the point where Arjuna is convinced. Up until this point, Arjuna has not been convinced. He's been slowly becoming convinced, but he hasn't been convinced as such. Only now he says, right, now I understand. Now I accept. In fact, in the second chapter, in verse 7, if you're a little familiar with Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna again speaks. In Bhagavad Gita, of course, mainly Krishna is speaking, but Arjuna is saying something from time to time. So, in chapter 2, verse 7, Arjuna speaks. He says, Kalpanya dosho pahata subhava prichchami tvam dharma samudacheta yachtrayasyan nischitan bruhitan me shishyastehan sadimam tvam prapanam. Yes. He tells Lord Krishna that now I have lost my composure due to this miserly weakness. And I can see that. And he says, Now I am surrendering to you. Aham tvam prapanam. Now I surrender to you. Shishyasteham. Now I'm your disciple. Yes. And a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. So it sounds good, doesn't it? It sounds like Arjuna has immediately surrendered. He's immediately become convinced. All right. Now I'm your disciple. Now you instruct me. I have surrendered. But what does Arjuna say in the next verse? Next couple of verses. Arjuna says, but I'm not going to fight. So in other words, he's not convinced. There's some sort of sentiment in his mind that I should do what you say. Yes. Just like I'm sure you've heard the famous story, probably many times, of those devotees who were living in Hawaii, some small group, and they didn't get on with the local GBC devotee who was overseeing everything. Didn't get on with him at all. So they didn't want to follow him. So they came to Prabhupada and they complained, you know, this fellow, he's overseeing everything, but we don't agree and we don't want to follow and we want to do our thing and so on and so forth like that. Then they said, but we'll do whatever you say to Prabhupada. We'll do whatever you say. But this GBC, this fellow who's overseeing this, nah, sorry, we can't do it. So Prabhupada said, oh, you'll do whatever I say? Yes, Srila Prabhupada, we'll do it, no problem. Prabhupada said, very good. Then you follow this GBC. Yes, I'm sure you've all heard that many times. So it's like that. There may be some sentiment. Oh, yes, I will do what you say. All right, then do this. Well, I'm busy right now. I was thinking of doing something else. Would that be okay? Anyway, of course, we don't expect people to become totally surrendered, actually, just like that. So even though Arjuna was expressing that sentiment, but on a deeper level, the conviction was not really there. So as soon as he said, now I'm your disciple, and a soul surrendered unto me, but so you just tell me what to do. Please instruct me, but don't tell me what to fight. But you just tell me what to do, but don't tell me what to fight. Don't tell me to fight. So how's that? Yes. Anyway. So it began like that, but now it's come to this point. Krishna has taken Arjuna step by step, and now Arjuna is actually convinced. And he really means it this time, because he understands Krishna. He understands clearly who is Krishna. So this surrender to Krishna, it has to be based on a real understanding, not just on a sentiment. Yes, there has to be real knowledge. In fact, a little earlier on in the same chapter, just five verses before, in verse 7, Krishna said, Etam vibhutam vibhutim yogam cha mama yogati tatvataha sova kalpena yogena yujyate nacha samshayaha. One who is factually convinced of this opulence and mystic power of mind engages in unalloyed devotional service. Of this there is no doubt. Yes, so there Krishna is making the point, the principle involved very clear, that if you actually become convinced of who Krishna is, then you'll see that there's no alternative. There's no alternative but to surrender. Yes. As soon as you become convinced and you get some realization about what Krishna's position actually is, yes, then, at least any intelligent person will understand. This is the only thing to do. The only thing to do. Nothing else would really make sense. Just carrying on as an independent, rebellious soul, doing my own thing and overlooking the Supreme Lord, abusing his facilities, his property. Only some sort of diehard, foolish person would do that. If they come to that point of seeing clearly and understanding clearly that Krishna is really like this. Sometimes we give the example, you may have also heard this, that your house may be burning down. And someone, but you don't know. So you just carry on life as normal. But actually your house is burning down. But because you don't know, you don't do anything about it. Then a little later on, you smell some smoke, and you wonder, oh, where is that coming from? I hope it's not my house. Better go and have a look. So now, there's some sort of mild interest or something of that sort. So you are investigating a little bit. But it is not that there's some clear understanding. It's just some vague idea. Maybe it's like this, maybe it's like that. So then you go, you look around, then you come to the place where the fire is, you open the door, and there you see, my house is burning down. And then what do? Do you just sit down and say, oh, well, I think I'll read the newspaper? No. No, then you react. You react on the basis of that knowledge. It's a very simple thing, isn't it? And you get out, or you try to counteract the fire or something, but it is based on knowledge. When you have no knowledge, then there's a saying that where ignorance is bliss, it is folly to be wise. Where ignorance is bliss, where ignorance is bliss, it is foolish to be wise. Now, of course, it can never be foolish to be wise. Yeah. So, where ignorance is bliss, it means sort of like, you know, the story of the ostrich. Prabhupada told that story. The ostrich sees, here comes the lion. He's heading towards me. And he looks hungry. What to do? So then he puts his head in a hole in the ground and says, ah, that was the solution. Now there's no lion. Very good. So where ignorance is bliss, it is foolish to be wise. But ignorance can never really be bliss. It can never be foolish to be wise. So shortly the ostrich learns that when the lion jumps on top of him. Yeah. So knowledge is very important. And here we see Arjuna. He's been going through this whole process. Lord Krishna has been debating with him and arguing and explaining and covering this point and that point and so many points in a very comprehensive way. And he's brought Arjuna to this point. Actually, Prabhupada mentions here, if you recall, having spoken the four previous verses, which are Bhagavad Gita in a nutshell, the whole message of Bhagavad Gita is there in the previous four verses. And having heard these four verses, now Arjuna says, right, I'm convinced. And now I will actually do what you say. And I will not just talk about doing what you say, but I will actually do it. So Krishna said, I'm the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know this engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. That is following on from that other verse I read, where Krishna says, if you understand my glory and power, then you'll automatically surrender. So therefore, based on that knowledge and realization, they surrender to Krishna and they serve Krishna. And he says then, what is next? Next step? The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. To those who are constantly devoted, now Krishna is going to explain how he reciprocates, because it is not just a one-way street. You know, sometimes we're speaking with people. I was speaking to someone a while ago about the Big Bang Theory. And they just, as soon as we would, you know, we'd present some
arguments, it was like they didn't hear. Just made no impression whatsoever. Like some people who follow, you know, some other religious traditions, with all due respect, some of them, it becomes like that. They kind of switch off. This is a person who's living on a one-way street. It only goes that way. It only goes their way. There's no other. There's no way back. Anyway, that's okay. But with Krishna, it is not a one-way street that we must serve him and he gets the service and that's all. No. Krishna, he reciprocates. He is not ungrateful. I think we talked about that one of the other days. He's not ungrateful. He's very personal. Very personal. So if he says here then how he reciprocates. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. And then this is now the fourth of these four verses which finally impel Arjuna to completely surrender, in fact. Krishna says, to show them special mercy, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. So in other words, Krishna reciprocates with his devotees, and then Arjuna speaks these verses, you are the Supreme Lord, and now I'm convinced, and now I will really surrender to you. Of course, Srila Prabhupada makes the point, and it's a very important point in the purport, that it is not just that Arjuna has figured it out for myself. For himself. So not just that Arjuna figured it out, that I have decided that you are God. You know, there was once, I mean this might sound like a little diversion, but there was a Monty Python film. Not that I'm a fan of him. In fact, I never saw one of his films. Okay. But I heard. There was a film called The Life of Brian. Did you hear about that? Brian is Jesus. Yeah. So Brian is there. And he says something. You know, like, well, all roads lead to Rome. Or some sort of catchy little saying. And someone comes and says, ah, oh, that was so profound. You're very great. I will worship you. And he says, no, don't worship me. I'm just Brian. And then gradually all these people gather around him. To the next one he says, Rome wasn't built in a day. And the person says, ah, oh, how profound. You got it. I'm going to worship you. He says, no, don't worship me. I'm just Brian. And he is just Brian, actually. He isn't anyone in particular. So he gets all these people worshiping him until he becomes totally frustrated and he just shouts at them, just get away, stop this. I'm just Brian, leave me alone. So, you know, if we decide, you know, me, who doesn't really know very much, just coming out of ignorance in this world, and I decide, you are God, well, how good is my opinion, your average person in the street? How worthwhile is their opinion about God, who they actually know nothing about? Just like I just got a message the other day by email from one of our leading devotees in Siberia, Russia. Very amazing fellow. They just went preaching in Mongolia and got a wonderful response. So if I ask you, tell me something about Mongolia, you cannot say anything because you don't know anything. You don't know anything. So if you say, oh yes, Mongolia, of course, and then try and say something, it'll be meaningless because you know nothing about that place. So similarly, any ordinary person in this world, they don't know who is God. And generally, no real idea, maybe some vague idea. He is a light, or maybe he is love, or something. But it's not clear. Like, I know you, you can know me. It's not clear like that at all. So then if they decide, well, I've decided you are God, then is their opinion very worthwhile? It's not very worthwhile. Prabhupada told the story about the jackal in the jungle. The jackal fell in a pot of blue paint. It came out looking very extraordinary. And everyone saw him. They couldn't understand, what is this? We never saw this. And he said, I'm God. Now, unfortunately, jungle animals are not well known for being knowledgeable in such subjects. So they all said, really? I said, yes. And they said, oh, well, we will worship you. So they were all worshiping the jackal. Then, around this time, there they were, worshiping away. Then the moon rose, full moon, and they say, jackals must howl at the full moon. So the jackal, he saw, here comes the moon. He couldn't stop himself. He suddenly just howled at the moon. And all the other animals said, wait a minute. And they took a closer look. And they saw, he's not God, he's a jackal. But he just fell in some blue paint. Now, anyway, Srila Prabhupada told that story. It's just to illustrate the principle, really. Yeah. So Arjuna, he is saying, Param Brahma, Param Dharma, Pavitram, Purusham Divyam. You are the Supreme Spirit, the Supreme Abode, the Transcendental Person, the Supreme Person. So it is not just that Arjuna has decided, and that therefore seeing he has decided, then we should accept it. No, and he is very intelligent to cover that point. He says that all the great sages, like Narada, Asita, Devala, and Vyas, they confirm this. Oh yes, these are big people. These are very big people. Sometimes people ask us, why do we accept Bhagavad Gita? They asked, did you ever speak to Krishna? And we didn't really speak to Krishna. So they say, well, why do you accept it? So the first, you know what the first answer is? The first answer is because over the history, thousands of years, great personalities they accepted. Not just anyone like you or me or someone walking down the street, but great, great scholars, great intellectuals, extremely knowledgeable on one hand, but on the other hand, and actually more importantly, great, pure devotees. Not mixed up materialistic people who want to sell you something, try and sell you their idea. But they just want to give you the truth. That's all. To help you to understand the truth. Completely free from all material contamination. Any lust, anger, greed, arrogance, pride, envy, completely free from these things. So they have confirmed it. So many of them. He's just mentioning some of the main ones. Narada, Vyas. These are very great, saintly persons and very knowledgeable. So they have accepted this. Yes. Therefore we accept it. Therefore we accept it. So it is authorized. It's not just Arjuna's opinion. So we should also try and understand like Arjuna understood. So if we follow that process, rendering devotional service, trying to understand as Arjuna understood. And even though in the beginning we may not be on that level of being fully convinced everything is totally crystal clear, we may not be on that level, just some understanding we may have. But if we render service and try to understand, then we'll come to that of being convinced like Arjuna and fixed, completely fixed like Arjuna. Nothing could shake him in his conviction. And Krishna is very kind. We talked about that the other day, didn't we? He says, to those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. To show them special mercy, not ordinary mercy, special mercy, I, dwelling within their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. So this is Krishna's special mercy. Krishna is merciful in so many ways, actually. In fact, there's one verse. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam eko bahunam yovadadati kamam. It's from Shweta Ashvatara Upanishad. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam. That there are two categories of eternal conscious living beings. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam. Two categories. One category has many members. That's us. There are many of us. The other category has one member only. That is Krishna. That is God. Of course, he expands himself in so many forms, but they're forms of himself. So ultimately, there is only the one person there, really. So nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam eko bahunam yovadadati kamam. The one, eko, the one, has been fulfilling the desires of the many since time immemorial. So Krishna. Actually, Krishna is very kind to everyone. He's fulfilling everyone's desires. Now, unfortunately, of course, most people desire the wrong things. You've heard the story of the one man. He sat down under a wish-fulfilling tree. He didn't know it. He was very hot and tired. He thought, I wish I could have a drink. Suddenly, there it was in front of him. He thought, wow, really? I wish I could have a big feast. Suddenly, there it was. Because he was sitting under a wish-fulfilling tree. So he went for some time wishing and wishing, and everything was coming. Then he thought, I'm in the middle of the jungle. There are usually a lot of tigers around here. And he turned around, and there was a tiger. And before he could wish the tiger away, it was too late. I guess the tiger's wish was stronger than his wish. Something like that. Anyway, so people often desire things which are not very good for them. Keep them in this world, trapped in this world, in the cycle of birth and death. Yeah. So, Krishna gives special mercy to the devotees, and he says here that the form of that is that he gives them guidance how to get out, how to come to him. Prabhupada explains that Krishna is fulfilling everyone's desires. He is kind to everyone, but he is especially kind to the devotees. And Prabhupada explains why. It's a very simple thing. Earlier, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Aham bija pradapita, I am the seed-giving father of all living entities. So he is the father of everyone, from Lord Brahma to us, down to the cockroaches and the ants, and even the unicellular little entities, the bacterias and things. He is the father. Aham bija pradapita, of all living entities. So Srila Prabhupada explains that as such, he is kind to all his children, of course. Srila Prabhupada says, just like anyone who has a child, any parent, when they see any other nice little child, immediately some nice feeling arises in their heart. It's only natural. What a sweet little child. This is very common and natural. Any parent, any decent person will feel like that. But Prabhupada says that still they have special affection for their children. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it's natural. So Krishna is very kind to all the living entities, but to those people who are actually surrendering to him, trying to serve him, giving up their independent spree in this material world, trying to challenge him and enjoy at his expense and forget about him and all this sort of thing. That's what material life basically is. So, for those who are actually very humbly coming and taking shelter of him and taking up a dependent position at his feet, is only natural that he gives them special attention. It is not that he is doing something immoral. Yeah. Not that it's something immoral. It's only natural, actually. So Krishna is kind to his devotees. He helps them to understand him and reciprocates with them for how they serve him. And in the end, he brings them to him. And they can go back to Godhead, the eternal kingdom of God. No more birth, death, old age, and disease. No more politics. No more economics. No more, you know, rumors and gossip. No more backbiting. No more of that. Yes, thank you. We asked him to come along and just demonstrate the opposite. So, no, but life is very nice there. Eternal life, full of bliss, full of knowledge, without the difficulties of life here in this material world, struggling to carry on, get ahead, or at least keep on the same level. And then finally, you die and you lose everything. No more of that, by Krishna's mercy. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? We didn't write anything down, eh? Okay. I think we'll just carry on with Guru Puja. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sarasthana Sarasvishwarasthavanga Sarasvartavaranta Sarasvila Prabhupada ki Uskan Swami Sarasvila Prabhupada ki Anand Hari Vaishnavinda ki Nama Sarasvila Hari Dostakar ki Prayam Sarasvila Krishna Chaitanya Prabhupada Suryodhi Vada Sarasvi Gaurya Bhaktavinda ki Sisi Radha Krishna Gautha Gavana Shamkan Radha Kani Girigava Rama ki Sri Vrindavan Dham ki Sri Mayapur Dham ki Sri Jagannath Puri Dham ki Sri Sri Radha Radhanath ki Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki Sri Prabhupada ki Sankirtan Yajna ki Iskan Phoenix Yatra ki Gopur Nandi. All glories to the Sama devotees. All glories to the Sama devotees. All glories to the Sama devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Sri Prabhupada.